Blog Talk Radio. Starting a new class on today, a new subject. This is the importance of water baptism. Why? Who's been in my office? Just a minute, let me adjust this microphone. All right. we're starting a new subject today, the importance of water baptism. We'll go ahead and do our necessary. We will do our statement of faith, pray in, and jump into this lesson. I pray everybody's having a blessed week on today. And if you're ready to, I hope that you have pen and paper ready. Wrong one. All right, so we'll go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their head. Men, uncover your head. As we go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We will give you glory and honor and praise, and we extol thee, O God Elohim. We extol thee, Father, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. For truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And we just bow the knee to you on today, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. All right, I think that, my speaker is on. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. So we are starting it with the water baptism and the importance of water baptism. And for our scripture for today, let's go to Acts chapter 2. 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. For the Most High to bless you, the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. And Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Let me bring up my Word document. And we've been talking about Yah's plan of salvation, the overall plan, why man needed salvation, the different types of sin, why the Most High said that he had a plan of salvation. It was, you know, before the foundations of the world that he implemented this plan. And so now we are going to look at the water baptism portion of this, because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Okay, so we're looking at the importance of water baptism. Yeshua himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We can go read that. Let's go get that in Mark chapter 16 verse 16. The book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, and the word of the Most High reads, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Messiah also said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. So let's get that. Matthew 28 and 19. And before we move any further, are there any questions concerning the previous lesson, Yah's plan of salvation, his overall plan, before we get specifically into the water baptism and into the Holy Spirit?
No, I have no questions.
All right. Amen. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now we know that the apostles never baptized using that formula. They always baptized in the name of the Lord or in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay. Yah's plan for salvation includes faith or belief in HaMashiach, repentance of sin, and baptism in Yeshua's name. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. The book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And the word of the Most High reads, and when you have it, if you'll say amen. Luke 24 and verse 47.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Amen.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So repentance and remission of sins in his name. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh. Go to Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1, and let's get verse 8. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know what the word is for when you do the opposite, when you do it backwards. Okay, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And in Acts 2:38, the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. And the word of the Most High reads, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't say in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Tells you specifically what name you have to use. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We must note that Yeshua expressly commanded water baptism, not just as a ceremony. Because you have a lot of churches and denominations that believe that baptism in water is just an outward sign of an inward change. So it's showing that, hey, I believe, so I'm going to get baptized. It serves more than that, okay? And so that's what we're going to look at. But as an integral part of Yah's plan for us, did not Yeshua himself accept baptism? So let's go to Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Then cometh Yeshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. So Messiah came to Galilee, to the Jordan River, to John, specifically to be baptized. If he had to be baptized, why would anybody else coming in think they should not have to be? Okay. To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you. And comest thou to me, and you come into me? And Yeshua answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Why? For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we know, what does that word righteousness mean? Does it mean to be right? Or does it have a deeper meaning? To be lawful. To fulfill the right, to be lawful. So to fulfill all lawfulness. Then he suffered him. Then he suffered him. Okay, if this is the law and this is the way into the kingdom, this is the commandment, then I'm going to go ahead and baptize you, even though I have need to be baptized of you. But you're going to be the head, so if the head has to be baptized, everybody else has to be what?
Baptized.
Amen. But by this act of obedience, Messiah did 3, 4, 5 things. One, recognize that we are sinners. So when we do this, by this act of obedience, when we are baptized, we recognize that we are sinners and are in transgression of the Most High's law. Two, we turn away from all our sinful ways and die to them, coming into the blood covenant relationship. So we're saying that, okay, we're taking on the new covenant, and the new covenant says that we are to not be sinners, not willful sinners. Taking an OTI that we will not willfully transgress his laws again. That's what it means when we do that. Three, we make ourselves one with HaMashiach in his burial and in his resurrection. So we place ourselves into the same boat as him. By receiving baptism, baptism represents that we are under his blood, but we are also buried with him. We die to our ways. So we are separated. We make ourselves one with HaMashiach in his burial and in his resurrection. We are separated from the old life of sin and defeat, and we bury the old person. And five, we come out of the water sinless, all of our past sins washed away, to a new life of righteousness and victory. Righteousness means that we are lawful. We do that which is right, that the Most High said is right, concerning his laws. All of this was made possible by Yah's love toward us. To be sure, faith in HaMashiach does save us from our sins. But do not pit his command to have faith on one hand against the command to be baptized in water on the other. Because people will say, well, I got faith, I don't need to be baptized. Okay? Let both live in harmony as HaMashiach intended in accordance with Yah's eternal plan. Do not consider yourself complete in HaMashiach until you have been baptized in the name of Yeshua or Jesus. So I don't preach against the name of Jesus. It's just that when you know better, you ought to what? Do better. And so his name in the English is Jesus. His real name is Yahushua or Yeshua, however you want to pronounce it or spell it. Why was he baptized? Go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. We just read this. And Yeshua answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So why was he baptized? To fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the law. The New Testament requires as a law that everybody be baptized in water. He's the head of that of the church. Cannot go and not fulfill that. So he fulfills it, and everybody coming into his kingdom has to fulfill it as well. So to fulfill all righteousness. Messiah was not a sinful man. He was already filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. But everything that he says that we have to do, he went back through it. He showed us by example. How did Yah show his approval of HaMashiach's baptism? Let's get verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And when you have it, say amen. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, you know, the Catholic Church believes in sprinkling, like sprinkling babies, or sprinkling you in baptism when the scriptures say that you must be buried. Okay. So when it says he went straightway up, straightway out of the water, that means that he had to be where? In the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So from how the Most High showed his approval of this, he just made it, he made a audible statement from heaven that the people at Messiah's baptism heard and said, I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, and so this is how the Most High felt about it. Was Yeshua actually submerged in the water? We know in verse 16 it said he came straightway up out of the water. So he was submerged in the water. What did Yeshua tell his disciples about salvation as recorded in the Gospels? Matthew 28:19 and 20. Book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now this is a commandment, okay? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So he commands in verse 19 that we baptize, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Messiah commanded the apostles to go into all the nations and to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we find out that all those beings are one, all those entities are the same entity, and we're only given one name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. So to John chapter 3, the book of John chapter 3. And look at verses 3 through 5. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now, this born-again experience, you know, because a lot of people say you're not spiritually born again until you're resurrected, until you receive, you know, your eternal life. But that's not what the scriptures say. Okay, and so we want to make sure that we are in line with the word of the Most High. He says you cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. So we really have to understand what that phrase means. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is he's a master and a teacher in Israel. And he's asking, he's saying, hey, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Yeshua answered, verily, verily, or seriously, seriously, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, of the water and of the Spirit, that's born again, not either or, but both, of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Notice that this spirit in verse 6, the first spirit is capitalized. This is always used of the Most High. The only spirit that you'll see capitalized in the book whenever it's referring to the Holy Spirit. And then the second spirit is lowercase, okay, identifying a type of entity, a being, a spirit being, not identifying spirit being. So if we look at this in the actual Greek, we'll see that this word right here, that's this pneuma here, by itself can represent a current of air, a breath, a blast, a breeze, or analogy, figuratively, a spirit, and as in human, the rational soul, by implication, vital principle, mental disposition, superhuman, an angel, a demon, or divine Elohim, or Christ spirit, the Holy Spirit, ghost, life, spiritual. Anytime you see it capitalized, I can tell you that the scriptures are always going to be referring to the spirit of Elohim. And then we got pneuma again, the same word. But when it's capitalized, it represents the Most High. When it's lowercase, it can represent just anything that is a spirit, that is part of the spiritual world. It could be an angel, it could be a demon, it could be God, it could be Christ, from a spiritual aspect. It can be a ghost of another person. But that which is spirit is of the spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is spirit. It's not a physical, corporal, fleshly being. Okay, whether it's of the mind, but it is spirit, a spiritual being. So the scriptures are dealing with a spiritual being, the spiritual portion of you and I. Okay, and that our spirit needs to be reborn again, not the fleshly body, but our inner person. Who we are, that has to be reborn again, okay? After receiving the Holy Spirit as promised by HaMashiach, the apostles weren't able to carry out his command regarding salvation. After many of the people heard Peter's message during the Feast of Pentecost, they asked, brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved, okay? So let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. What must we do to be saved? And when you have it, we're going to actually going to start let's start in verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made that same Yeshua, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now we know, actually, Lord is a title and Christ is a title. Okay? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And I told you that word prick means that they were felt so guilty and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when we are truly repentant, then we're supposed to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we must be baptized, and it doesn't have to come first. You don't have to be baptized first, and then you receive the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. We can look in the book of Acts. We can see where somebody, a group of people, Apollos and his family and friends, they received the Holy Spirit first. Then they had to be baptized. We can go to Acts chapter 19 and John's apostle. They had been baptized unto repentance. They had to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. And then hands were laid on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So they had to be rebaptized. We go to Acts chapter 8 and we have the people of the city of Samaria, a city of Samaria. They are Jews. They are the lost seed or the lost tribes of Israel. They are preached Jesus, and how he was crucified, and they get baptized, but they don't receive the Holy Spirit right away. They don't receive the Holy Spirit until John and I think it's Peter and John come and lay hands on them, and then they receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's not a set order. It's not set in stone how you receive, but you have to receive both. You must receive baptism in the water in his name, and then you must be filled by the Spirit of the Most High. Okay, and all of them that were filled with the Spirit of the Most High, well, just about all, it will say that they began to speak in other tongues, other languages. Okay. What was the promise to them and to future generations? Verse 39. For the promise is to unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. The promise is to all those that are called. But the scriptures tell us many are called. How many are chosen?
Few.
Everybody's not chosen. Okay, but the promise is to as many as you call. Everybody don't come with the right heart. They don't come pure of spirit to him. They don't come truly repentant. And he says, I judge the heart. Okay. So the promise is for those that were in that generation and to their children and to throughout the generations to whomever the Most High calls. He don't call everybody.
No.
Okay. And even of those that he calls, everybody don't receive. He don't choose them. Because everybody didn't come with a willing heart. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And let's get verses 31 through 34. And when you have it, say amen.
No.
All right, amen, my sister. Jeremiah 31 through 34. 31 through 31, 34. Behold, the days come, it saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, this is what Christians have to understand. The new covenant is with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay? Because Israel rejected this covenant, the vast majority of Israel, the Most High used that to offer salvation to the Gentile covenant, and the covenant that it was always is with the house of Israel. They are being grafted in to the house of Israel. And this is what they need to understand. This is what Israel has to understand, that Messiah is the king of who?
King of kings.
He's king of kings, but who is he ultimately the king of?
Everybody.
Well, let's go through the scriptures say, okay?
Judah.
The king of Judah. He's the king of Israel. Okay. He is going to be the king of the world, but the nation that he has specifically put himself over and put up under him is Israel. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. Because see, the people have to understand this. Israel has to understand it. The world has to understand it. And, you know, so that they don't become what they call anti-Semitic, understand that the very kingdom, the very Savior and kingdom that they're trying to get into is to be added to the kingdom of Israel. Okay. So everybody in Isaiah 43?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's read the word of the Most High. But now thus saith Yah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You belong to me. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Yah, thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom and Ethiopia and sea before thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses. This is why we were created, says Yah, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he, and before me there was no Elohim formed, neither shall there be after me. I am Yah, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed. And when there was no strange Elohim among you, therefore you are my witnesses, saith Yah, that I am Elohim. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will stop it? Thus saith Yah, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans who cry in the ships. I am Yah, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your what? Your King. He specifically is the King of who?
Israel.
Now, he is King of who? King.
Israel.
He's King of Israel, but he's also King of what? King.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the King of Israel, all other kings in the world will fall up under who?
Under the Most High.
Under the Most High. Under Messiah. He is King of Kings. He is Master of Masters. That's Lord of Lords, okay? He's Master of Masters. So all other masters bow to him. All other kings do what? Bow to him. Okay. But his home country is who? Israel is his home country. Okay. So the King of Kings has a country that he says is his home country, and it's Israel. That means that in the future, if all kings are going to bow to him, then all nations are going to bow to who? Israel. That's why it's important to know who you are and what you are. Okay? So he is the king of the world, and the world will, all the other kings in the world will bow to him. But what is his home country?
Israel.
And he's the king of Israel. So if we're going to obey anybody, if he's our king, then who should we be obeying?
The Most High.
The Most High. You should be obeying Messiah. In his earthly realm, he tells us to bow to him. All authority has been given to who? Oh, I think you're not sure about this.
All authority is given to the Son.
It's given to the Son. So, Corinthians chapter 15. And let's get verses 23. See if we can do it from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 23. And say amen when you have it.
Amen.
15.
1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And starting in verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Elohim, even the Father, when he shall put down all what?
All rules and all authorities and power.
So he's going to put it down. He's going to return it to the Father, okay? To the position of Father. Right now, everything is being done from the position of the Son. Even now. For he must reign till he has done what?
He
got to reign that long till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is who?
Yeah.
That's the last enemy he's going to destroy. Before that, he's going to destroy all other enemies. 7. For he has put all things under his feet. He, Elohim, has put all things under his, Christ's feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest, it is made clear that he, Elohim, is accepted. He put everything up under him but himself. In other words, he put all the power and authority and rulership in Mashiach, except for rulership for him as the Father. He has to show reverence to who?
The Father.
The Father. Because everything is going to bow to the Father. Okay? So when he is ready, it's all right, now I don't need this body anymore. And I'm now going to appear to you only in the spirit form, in my true form as the Father, everything bows to him, even the Son. Okay? But that the Son, it doesn't exist physically at that point. He doesn't. So it is made clear or manifest that all is accept, that he is accepted. There's an exception to the rule, the Father, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be what?
Unto him.
Subject unto him.
All things unto him.
Amen. That put all things unto him. That Elohim may be all in what?
All in all.
First in all. So, in understanding this, then the world has to know that Messiah is the King of Israel, and they are being grafted into Israel. Let's look at this one more place. Go to Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11.
Amen.
Romans chapter 11, we'll just get verse 19 on this, okay? We can read all of this chapter, but we're just going to get verse 19 for time's sake. Oh, actually, let's get more than verse 19. So we know who we're talking about. Starting verse 13. Amen?
Amen.
So we know who we're talking to, okay? Who he's talking to. For I speak to you Hebrews, right?
Gentiles.
You Gentiles. This is who he's speaking to, all right? Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. For if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, those are of his flesh would be what? The Hebrews, the Israelites. And might save some of them, some Hebrews. For if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of Israel be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the what?
Branches.
Now Messiah is the root. Israel are the branches. Okay? For if some of the branches be broken off, if some of Israel be broken off, and thou being a wild olive, and thou Gentiles being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them the, what, first branches? The root, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against who?
Right.
Boast not against Israel. Don't brag against them. But if you boast, thou bearest not the what?
Root.
The root, Messiah, but the root thee. Thou will say then, the branches which are Israel were broken off that I might be what? That I, Gentile, might be what?
Grafted.
Okay, so they are grafted into Israel. Okay? And Israel, some of Israel was what? Broken off?
Broken off.
Okay. So we got to, you know, everybody's got to understand that Messiah is the King of Israel. And if you're coming into his body, even though he's going to have a global body and he's going to have all kind of ethnicities, they're being grafted into Israel, the nation, okay? And a lot of Hebrews don't even like that. But if they believe in him and they agree to the contract, he grafts them into Israel, into his body. He's the King of what? Israel? You're going to come up under me. You're going to be grafted into me. Okay. Now, verse 20. Well, because of unbelief, Israel was broken off. And you, Gentiles, stand by faith. Be not high-minded. Don't be high-minded because you got what? Grafted in? But what?
Fear.
But fear. For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not what? You. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of Elohim on them which fell, on Israel which fell. Severity. Severe punishment. But towards you, goodness, if you continue in his Messiah's goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be what? Cut off. So don't boast against the natural branches. And you got to do what I said to do. Or else you also will be what?
Cut off.
Well, wait a minute. We ain't up under no law. You see how stupid this sounds? How they don't believe that they're under a law, but they believe that they're grafted into his body? Being lawbreakers? He says, if they don't continue in his goodness, they also shall be what?
Cut off.
And they, Israel, also, if they abide not still in unbelief, come out of?
Unbelief.
Shall be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft Israel in what?
Again.
The branches that were broken off, if they don't remain in unbelief, they can be what?
Grafted back in.
Okay. For you Gentiles were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to the nature into a what?
The olive tree.
How much more shall these, how much more shall Israel, which be the natural branches, be grafted back into their own what? So, it's not a replacement theology, okay? Israel has to what? Come out of unbelief?
Yeah.
Into belief, and then Mosiah is able to graft Israel back in again to their own tree. But he's also, because of what Israel did, he offered this to the who? Gentiles. And said that they were able to be grafted into what? The olive tree? Okay. So this is what it's all about. So in the New Covenant, Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31 through 34. And let's go back to Jeremiah 31. So Israel is part of the natural tree. The Gentiles are part of the what? Unnatural tree? They were out of a wild olive tree. And the Most High says that he is able to graft them into the what? The olive tree, the good olive tree. And if they don't remain good, if they don't become righteous, then he shall do what?
Cut them off.
Cut them off. So they have to get the message where Israel what messed up,
right?
And not do what Israel did, not do what our forefathers did. But they're doing the exact opposite. Okay, and so it's just going to be a hot mess. Because I thought I was getting in. I did all these things in your name. But you didn't obey. Okay. And Israel has to what? Learn to obey. Because Israel can't disobeyed out of, you're saying, out of what? Disbelief? They didn't believe the Most High was going to be able to do all the things he said he's going to do. They doubted him. That's why our forefathers were cut off. Okay. Jeremiah 31 and 31. Behold, the days come, it says, yeah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He didn't say with the house of the world. He didn't say with the Gentile nation, did he?
No.
Okay. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. So now he's relating the relationship between him and Israel as a husband and a wife. Okay. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law where?
In the inward
heart.
And write it in their heart. And will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Now this is what the covenant is all about. Everybody that comes to the Most High is becoming a member of the house of Israel. And those that want to actually live in the land, they have a right to live in the land. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Saith Yah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to go down to verse 13. For finding fault with them, and if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
For finding fault with them, Israel, he says, behold, the day cometh, saith Yah, when I will make a new covenant. Again, he reiterates this with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, and I want you to notice something. When he told them this, they were split. There was a nation of Israel and there was a nation of Judah, or a kingdom of Israel and a kingdom of what?
Judah.
Okay. And then, so he addresses both of them, but he's saying, I'm going to take those two and make them one again. So verse 10, notice that he only says with the house of who?
Israel.
He don't mention Judah, does he?
Mm-mm.
Now, it's not because he did away with Judah. He recombined the houses, okay, the kingdom, into one nation. They start off at one nation, and because of what Solomon did, the Most High, what, split the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he's saying he's going to reunite them in the new covenant. I'm going to put them back together. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says Yah, I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them an Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. Same thing that he told them back in Jeremiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. In that he said a new covenant, he said he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So we see that all of this, the baptism and everything, the promises, are that he's going to put back together and put in the hearts of Israel. And Israel will be made up of both Jews and Gentiles, okay? Not just Jews, not just Hebrews. Let's go to Galatians, the book of Galatians. Chapter 3, 29, if that's what I remember right. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. And when you have it, say amen.
Oh, yeah.
For you are all the children of Elohim by faith in who?
Yeah.
For as many of you as have been baptized into who?
Christ.
Into Christ, into HaMashiach, have put on HaMashiach. There is neither Jew nor what?
Free.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Yeshua HaMashiach. So there is no Jew or Gentile. Spirits don't have a gender, male or female, okay? That's why they're not given in marriage. They don't reproduce by sex. So there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free in Messiah. If you take him on, if you are baptized into him, then you become part of him, and he's the king of who? Israel. Amen?
Amen.
What did the people do as a result of Peter's command? Acts 2 and 41. So Peter said, repent and be baptized. They asked, what should they do? He said, repent and be baptized. So let's do, go to Acts chapter 2. Let's get verse 41. In the word of God. All right, amen. And verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were what?
Baptized.
So when you hear the gospel and you're told to be baptized, then you should gladly do it. If you understand what's going on, then you should gladly receive it and what? Do it. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In what name were the people baptized in? Now, we've gone over this before, but let's just do it again. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. verse 38. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Nope.
In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go to Colossians chapter 3. We get a couple. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word, and when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of who?
Yeshua
HaMashiach. Giving thanks to Elohim and to the Father by him. So in everything you do, you're supposed to do it in his name. That would include what? Baptism?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at the people in Samaria. The people in Samaria. Now, I bring these into the mix for this reason. The people of Samaria, most people would tell you that these are Gentiles. Most Hebrews believe that these are Gentiles, okay? But the salvation had not been released to the Gentiles yet. So the people that are in Samaria at this time, that salvation is not being offered to the Assyrian transplant. It's being offered to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that are in those lands. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And when you have it, say amen. Oh, we were already there.
Amen.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. Okay, so everything that we do, we're supposed to do it in his name. What did the people of Samaria do after they heard and believed the good news preached by Philip? Go to Acts chapter 8. And let's get verse, and when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were what?
Baptized.
Both men and
women.
And women. Salvation is not just unto men. It has always been unto men and women. There is just no sex in the kingdom. What I mean by sex, no gender in the kingdom. So, when the people in Samaria heard, they were baptized. How were the Samaritans baptized? Let's go to verse 16, drop down to verse 16. Well, let's get verses 14 through 16. Amen?
Amen.
Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in whose name? In the name of Yeshua or the Lord who? Jesus. Okay. So they're baptized in his name. What did the eunuch have to do before he could be baptized?
Believe.
Believe. With what?
what he was reading.
And what he was reading, or in with all his heart.
With all his heart.
So let's drop down to verse 36. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to start in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Yeshua. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be what?
Baptized.
And verse 37, how did Philip answer him? And Philip said, if you believe with what? Thou mayest. If you believe with all your heart what I just told you, you may be baptized. And I believe that Yeshua HaMashiach is the son of Elohim. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he what?
Baptized him.
He baptized him. So the eunuch understood that he needed to be baptized. Philip told him, if you believe with all your heart, you can be. Let's just answer this question. Was the eunuch actually submerged in the water? Get verse 38. And he commanded that the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So he went down into the water so that he could be dipped in the water. Go to Acts chapter 10. Now, so far, everybody we've seen, they've been baptized, then they receive the Holy Spirit, okay? But here we have the exception to the rule. So let's get Acts chapter 10, and let's go down to, I think I want to start a little bit higher than verse 44. Now, Peter is preaching the gospel to them, okay? To Cornelius and his family. So let's get that. Let's see. Let's start in verse 32. So Cornelius has a vision. This angel comes to him. He's asking, what else do I need to do? Cornelius is a Gentile of the Italian band. And he's asking, what else do I need to do? I pay alms. I follow the law, the statutes and the commandments. What else must I do? And so the Most High sends an angel to Peter to give him a vision. The Spirit to give him a vision, and he has the vision of the unclean animal. And he's told that, hey, I'm going to clean up the Gentiles, so what I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. So he leaves and comes to Joppa. And, he asked Cornelius, why did you send for me? And Cornelius said, hey, I was I had an angel come to me the other day and tell me to send for you. So let's start in verse 32. Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before Elohim to hear all things that are commanded you of Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons. For in every nation he that what?
Fears
him and worketh righteousness, keeps the law, is what? The word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua HaMashiach, he is Lord or master of all. That word I say you know, which throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him Elohim raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of Elohim, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick, the living, and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So he's talking to them and telling them about what Messiah did, and the Most High fills them with his spirit. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them do what?
Speak with tongues.
And magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He's asking that question. Can we stop them from being baptized? Seeing that what Elohim has already given them his spirit? And he commanded them to be what?
Baptized.
In the name of the Lord. And they prayed him to tarry or to wait their certain days. Here we have the Gentiles being filled with the Spirit first and then being what?
Baptized.
In the water. Okay. How did the Philippian jailer and his family respond to Paul's message? Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to get verses 25 through 33. And at midnight, now Paul and them are where? They're in jail. Okay. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto Elohim. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be what?
Strong.
And they said, believe on the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and thou shalt be saved and thy household. And they spake unto him the word of Yah and did all that were in his and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was what? He and all his house. Straightway. So the jailer, he heard the gospel. He saw heard and felt the earthquake, saw that it opened up all the jail cells. And none of these men ran away. And then he asked, what must he do to be saved? And he was told that he needed to be baptized. And then they all were baptized. How did the disciples at Ephesus respond to Paul's message? Go to Acts chapter 19, let's get verses 1 through about 7. Starting in verse 1, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Talking something new to us. And he said unto them, what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily or truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Yeshua HaMashiach. And when they heard this, they were what?
Baptized.
So they had already been baptized. They got baptized what? Again?
Again.
Okay. When people are baptized a certain way, and then they learn that they should have been baptized in another way, they should not be coy or stiff-necked and say, well, my first baptism should have what? Been fine?
Uh-huh.
They should say, okay, I hear that there's a better way, and they should just accept that they need to be baptized again. Now, what about if they do this? What if they knew the truth and knew that they should be baptized in my name, but found out that they weren't living a righteous life, and so they want to be baptized again? Did they do that?
Okay, they were baptized first time.
In his name.
In the name of Yeshua, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they started doing unrighteous.
Let's say that they never stopped.
Okay, now, but I don't think they should be baptized in the name of Yeshua.
They should know. There is no provision for that.
That's willful
sinning. That's correct. And being rebaptized won't undo that. Only through repentance. And they can say that they were doing it, what, out of ignorance? They didn't know? I mean, the Father's still going to judge them. He knows the heart. So they got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. Then they were taught that they didn't have to keep the law.
No, they weren't taught they
didn't have
to keep the law.
A lot of people were taught that. A lot of people were taught they are not under the law.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to keep it. Then they find out that they are up under the law. So then they want to go back and be rebaptized again. There is no provision for that. They just need to do what?
Repent.
And confess it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if it's true, then he says he is true and just. If you were doing it out of ignorance, then it is, I'm true and just to do what?
Forgive you.
But you don't go back and get re-baptized again. Only if you were baptized wrong to begin with. Okay. When we are baptized, how do we share in the experience of HaMashiach? How do we share in his experience? Go to Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6. And let's get verse 4. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by what?
Baptism to death.
Into death. So we get credit for his death, okay?
Right.
When we are buried with him, baptized with him in his name, then we are buried into his death. The Most High gives us credit for death, okay? That like as Mashiach was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what?
Newness of life.
So when you came up out of that water, you're considered to be a new creature. All of your sins are gone. Then you should walk in the newness of life. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm sinless. Okay? Because all relationships end at what?
Death.
So if the Most High, through salvation, through baptized, being buried in baptism into Christ's death, then all your relationships as far as with the Most High and your sin ended. You don't mean that you're divorced and you can go, you know, get remarried again to somebody else.
Right.
Doesn't mean that. Okay. It means that you are buried as far as your sin goes, and you are coming out of the water a sinless person. Okay? And that you should walk in the newness of life. Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2. And let's get verse 12. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. And when you have it, say amen. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through what?
Faith.
In the operation of Elohim.
Operation.
So you got to understand what the Most High is doing. I'm giving you credit for death. And your old life is over and done with. You are a new what? Creature. You are sinless. Because this is the operation I put in place to do that. And so just like I raised Messiah from the dead, when you come out of that water, you're to walk as though you have been what? Resurrected. And not be the same old man. And the Most High says, I give you credit for death. Verse 13, and you being what in your sin?
Dead in your sin.
And you, he buried a what? Dead person? The data, all that. Okay? And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he given life together with him, Mashiach, having done what?
Forgiven you of all trespasses.
So you are now sinless, right?
Yes.
The day you came out of that water, in Messiah's name, all of your trespasses were what?
Forgiven.
So you are, for all practical purposes, you are what? Sinless?
Very much.
Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us. Now, see, people want to read this, blotting out all of the law that was against us. That's not what it's saying. What happens in an ordinance? The ordinance tells you what you are charged with, the crime, and what the penalty for that crime is. So he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances. If you blot out the handwriting of the ordinances, that's not blotting out the ordinances themselves. It's blotting out what the ordinances would have charged you with. So you were a murderer. That's blotted out. Not the law of murder, but the sin that you committed, it's forgiven you. Which was contrary to us. If you got a charge sheet, do you think it's to your good? If you got a list of charges against you, do you think it's to your good?
No.
Do you think it's contrary to you?
It is.
So he took that away and took it out of the way, nailing it, your charges, to where?
To his cross.
He didn't nail the law to his cross. He nailed the ordinances that you that wrote against you. Your actual trespasses, he nailed them to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of any new moon or of any of the Sabbath days. Don't let them judge you of it, because their transgressions of those things were nailed where?
To the cross.
To the cross. Not that the holy days were done away with, but your transgressions of them was nailed to the cross. So don't let nobody judge you in that, because you get judged when you don't do it.
Man.
So I have wiped that out. That I have wiped you clean of that. Now, are you supposed to go out and transgress again?
No.
No. Because then you have crucified him afresh. Everything that he died for, you went back and put him back on the cross for it. And he says, I ain't doing it. I ain't going back up on the cross and die for you for something I've already died for. And you can't bring it to me either if you knew what you were doing.
No repeat.
No repeat. Which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is Christ. Okay. So we got to understand that you are buried with him in baptism, and you are risen with him through your faith in the operation of Elohim. Elohim's going to, if I stay faithful, he's going to resurrect me again to what, life? But while I am in this life, I'm to live unto who?
Christ.
Unto Christ. I'm his. He paid for me by his blood. So I'm supposed to live as though I already am what, eternal?
Right.
I'm supposed to live as though I'm already saved. I'm supposed to live in the newness of life, that I am a redeemed child of the Most High. And so I'm not going to get back in trouble again. I think I want to come back to these. I'll finish with these next week. Okay, I'm going to add to this lesson. I think I'm going to add it in right here. Okay, let me look up a couple of verses that I want to add to this that I don't have in here. As we're looking at this the plan of salvation, we're looking at the baptism and how it operates. Let me see here. Corinthians chapter 6. And it is hot in my office. AC went out again. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Will you have it? Say amen.
Amen.
What? Know you not that your body is the temple of who?
The Holy Ghost.
Which is supposed to be where?
In you.
Which you have of who?
The Holy.
And you belong to you.
No, you are not your own.
You are not your own. Who do you belong to?
The Most High.
The Most High. You are his what? Temple?
Yep.
You are the house that he wants to dwell in?
Yep.
That's why he told David, what house shall you build me?
Huh.
Seeing I have made all these things. I made my house from the very beginning when I made who? Adam. That's where he wanted to dwell. Where? In Adam. In Eve. In mankind. All those who followed him, he wanted to what? Dwell in them. So do you think he wanted to dwell in his priesthood?
Did he want to dwell in his priesthood?
Yep, in his priesthood.
Yeah.
So let's go see if that's true. Well, look at verse 20 first. You are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a what?
Price.
Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are who?
Elohim.
Okay, now let's go to Romans chapter, I think it is 8. 7. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. And let's read this carefully. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know what?
The law.
And know the law. How that the law has dominion over a man, how long?
As long as he lives.
For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband, how long?
As he lives.
But if the husband be dead, she is what?
Loose from the law of her husband.
So she's loose from the law of her husband. There's a law that says that. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called what? But if her husband be dead, she is free from what?
The law.
So that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become what?
Dead to the law.
By who?
By Jesus Christ.
That you should be married to what?
Another.
Even to him who raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto who? For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto what?
Yeah.
But now are we delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Elohim what?
Forbid.
Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, worked in me all manner of confusion. For without the law, sin is what? For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, see the law revived, and I what? The commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto what?
Yeah.
For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Elohim forbid. But the law was what, good?
It's
Elohim forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, and it was working that the law in him, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding what?
Sinful.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that I do not. So that which I do, I allow not. Meaning that I don't condone it. For what I would, that I do. For what I would or should do, that I what?
I don't.
But what I hate,
I do not.
But what I hate,
that I do.
That I do. If then I do that which I would not or should not, I consent unto the law that it is what?
Good.
Because the law is what's telling me what's wrong. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth all good things.
No good things.
For to will is present with me. The will to do good is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I what? I find not. For the good that I would do, or the good that I should, I what? But the evil which I should not, that?
I do.
Now, if I do that I should not do, it is no more I that do it, but what? I find then a law that when I would do good or when I should do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Elohim after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of what? Which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Elohim through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of Elohim, but with the flesh, the law of what? Sin. Okay, so he's saying he's always subject to this law, the law, because the law tells us what sin is. And what he should be doing right, he's doing what? He's doing wrong. Go to Acts chapter 7. Let's see. Now, this is Philip's rendition to Israel of what Israel has gone through. So let's read this. Because we were talking about the Most High wanted to dwell. What house did he make for himself? Know you not that you are the temple of Elohim? Okay. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren, and fathers hearken. Listen, the Elohim of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from there, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave them none inheritance. Now he's repeating the history of Israel from Abraham all the way down, but we need to listen. And he gave them none inheritance in it. No, not so much as a set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him. when as yet he had no child. And Elohim spake unto his wife, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said Elohim, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But Elohim was with him and delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth or a famine over all, a drought over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into and died, he and our forefathers, and were carried over into Shechem, laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. Why, when the time of the promise drew nigh, which Elohim had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in the house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in the words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that he was oppressed and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how Elohim by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, they appeared to him. Another 40 years, there appeared to him in the wilderness of the Mount Sinai, he's 80 years old, an angel of Yah, in a flame of the fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and he drew near to behold it. The voice of Yah came unto him, saying, I am the Elohim of thy fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold, or he bowed his head to the ground. Then said Yah to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did Elohim send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out, and after that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall Yah your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. This he said that was in the church in the wilderness, with an angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey from them, and in their hearts turn back again into Egypt. So remember when they didn't believe the report of the Most High, that the land was able to be taken? They tried to go back to Egypt. They were going to fire Moses and Aaron and Joshua, and they were going to make themselves their own leaders, and then they were going to go back into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as is Moses, which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice to the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as is written in the book of the prophets. O you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifice by space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rephaim, figures which you made to worship them. And I will carry you, now the star of David is the star of Rephaim, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Yeshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom he drave out before the face of our fathers, unto the days of David, who found favor before Elohim and desired to find a tabernacle for the Elohim of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Who is his house? We are.
Yeah.
So the Most High dwells in temples not made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith Yah? Or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist who?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. So he said, David wanted to build me a house. Solomon built me a house. But what house shall you build for me, seeing I already built my house? Then he wanted to fill them with the Holy Spirit, even in the wilderness. But they were stiff-necked and hard-headed. So he didn't dwell with them. He dwelt with them physically in a what, tabernacle?
Mm-hmm.
But his whole goal was to actually fill Israel with him. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Keep the law by the disposition of angels and have not what?
Yeah.
Kept it. Israel received the law, but didn't keep it. And they didn't keep it because of unbelief. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their what?
Teeth.
Okay. Let's go to one more place. And we'll stop here. And we'll finish this up on next Tuesday. And let me get this verse. Go to Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. And let's get verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of Elohim, which he, Elohim, has purchased with what?
His blood.
When did Elohim have blood?
When he was the Son.
When he was in the body of the Son, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He purchased it with his own blood. So we have to understand that we are the temple of the Most High. He purchased us with his own blood, and he expects us to serve him by obeying his what, voice? Mm-hmm. Obeying his commandments. Okay? We are the house that he built. We are the temple that he desires to be in. Okay, so we will pick this up on next week. We are baptized into his what?
Death.
Into his death. So the Most High gives us credit for death by being baptized into Messiah's death. And when we are baptized into his death, then we are judged. So now I'm resurrecting you. When you come up out of that grave, I'm resurrecting you. And let's get one more verse. Second Corinthians 5 and 17. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to get verse 17 and the word of the Most High reads. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what?
A new creature.
All things are what?
Passed away.
Behold, all things have become
new.
You're a new creature when you come up out of that water. You have no sin. That's why we are supposed to die to sin. So you are buried with him in baptism and you come up a new creature. Okay? So we will pick this up. On next week. Any questions on what we covered today?
No, sir.
No,
it all makes sense.
All right, amen.
Getting off the subject, Brother Miles, I need you to, because I got a new computer.
Uh-huh.
And I need you to show me how to install a Bible again on this one.
Okay. We can do that Thursday.
All right.
All right, amen?
Amen.
All right. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. And we'll meet on...
Pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you?
Peace and blessings. See you guys on Thursday.
All righty.